in all things showing yourself an example of good works, in doctrine showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, stealing, but showing all good faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Stop there. Paul tells Titus, I got a difficult job for you. The people I'm going to send you are not really the highest caliber. Cretans, they are. You know, back then, to call somebody a Cretan meant you were a liar. Just like if you called somebody a Corinthian, you were a fornicator. There wasn't a good reputation. But Paul sends Titus there to set things in order. And certain things he emphasizes in these passages. He talked about the qualifications of elders, the leaders in the assembly. But then he goes into the older men, the older women, the younger men, the younger women. And you see that a lot of the same things he says about them. It's not just the leadership. He says, well, if they're leaders, they have to be better than everybody else. We all are testimonies. We all don't want the Word of God to be blasphemed. We all want to adorn the gospel. And this is the thing. When we're in a culture that is corrupt, Paul has given us the indications. How do believers, how do the church be a testimony and a light in the midst of that darkness? Now, any worldview that people have has to answer four different questions. They have to answer, where do we come from? What's our origin? They have to answer, where are we going to? What's our destiny? It has to answer, what's right and wrong? And it has to answer, what's the meaning of life? What's my purpose here? No matter what position you take, you may not take a Christian worldview. You may say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Still have to answer those questions. Well, where did you come from? Well, we're just the highest form of evolution. Ultimately, though, you have to say, we're just an accident of evolution. We're just an accident. It just happened that all that you see around us, all the complexity that is there, the more we look into the DNA of everything that's alive, you see a code, a language there that spells out exactly what those two cells that are forming into an embryo will become and how to divide and eventually how to branch off into different parts of the body. And after 9 months, a child comes forth that looks like us. In fact, the whole time it's within the womb, it's being prepared for a different world. Evolution says, well, all these things change because of the environment that we're in. It doesn't look to the future. It can't know the future. And yet, every baby that is born, all the organs that are being formed in one environment are formed for a different one. The eyes have no use in the womb. The ears have no use in the womb. All the various things, no use in the womb. But as soon as birth comes, things change. You suddenly now, instead of being totally dependent upon your mother, you take that breath. Lungs, they had no use in the womb. They have use in this world. And they open their eyes. They see things in a different world. And ears, and hear in a different world. And the brain and all these senses now are out here watching these two people that are taking care of me, watching them speak and take care of me and say words and say Papa. Or Mama says, say Mama. And they go, Mama, Mama. Imitate. And they see you walking around. You know, we're not crawling on all fours. They see us walking around. And at first they crawl. Then they pull themselves up. They're standing there. And holding on. Eventually they'll start taking a walk. They have legs. Weren't any good in the womb. It was made for a new world. And yet evolution says, it's all just an accident. That's where we came from. Where are you going to? Mr. Atheist? I'm going to non-existence. When I die, that's it. It's over. That's it. Well, how about right and wrong? There is no right and wrong. There's no absolute truth. Everything's relative. It all depends. No right and wrong. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose do I have here? It's whatever you make it. You know, after everything's said and done, we know from science that everything is going from order to disorder. Everything goes from usable energy to heat death. Everything. So ultimately, this is the good news that the atheist provides. The believer, the scripture, the word. We are made by an all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving God who made us in His image to be here like Him and to glorify Him. Well, where are you going? What about after death? Oh, what a hope we have. We might die if we don't. But we know. We know. Absent from the body. It's far better. It's a world that is far better. In fact, and in a sense, when we wake up in that resurrection, it's to a new world. A world of heaven and earth. And we'll be fit for both. For eternity. What a great hope. Well, what about right and wrong? Yes, there is absolute truth. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. And Scripture clearly delineates the two. Well, what's the meaning of life? We're here not for ourselves. We're here for somebody else. We're here to glorify God. We're also here to love our neighbor. To help those that have need. If God's given me a special talent, it's not so I can criticize people who are less talented. But I help them. It makes me stronger to help them. It makes me richer to help the poor. It's to be here for someone else. To adorn the Word of God, the gospel. Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the purpose in life. As long as the Lord has pretend there's right and wrong. They have to pretend there's meaning in life. They have to pretend there's an origin that's worth believing in, for a future, for a purpose worth believing in. Even though they know it's not there, but they believe it's not there. They have to live. Because God made this world. He knew in His, how we operate the best. He's the manufacturer. When you buy something, you read the manufacturer's instructions on how it operates so that you don't mess it up and destroy it before it. If you neglect that, God has given us the manufacturer's manual in the Scriptures. He tells us, what's the best choice in life that you should do for me? What does he say? Not go by what your own opinion is. Not by anybody else. What is the Word of God? And the emphasis on His Word and how valuable His Word is. Now, if you were to agree, if you were to agree, you're a liar. You're a wild animal. You're a lazy glutton. Even one of your own poets said it. It's all true. This is my truth. You have your truth, and I have my truth. Don't call me a liar. This is just my truth. You can have your own truth. That's fine with me. Don't say I can't have my truth. And, well, you're a lazy fuck. Literally, it's a prominent feature in their anatomy. You're a lazy glutton. I'm not a lazy glutton. I'm just living life to the fullest. I'm just going for the gusto. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all the beer. That's the songs they sing. There is a culture. There are different cultures. And they're not all alike. And they act on principles that are not all alike. Some things, the background, people grow up in a traditional Christian background. Quickly going towards the different. It characterizes this interpretation. You're in the fathers aren't in the home, or if they are, they're not doing what they should be doing with those children. And the children imitate. They say and do the things they see you doing. And when They see you lie. Think about lying. People use it to make themselves look better, to get out of difficulties, but they don't like to be lied to. They don't mind, in fact, some people, it is so prevalent. They've been lying all their life that you hardly believe anything that comes out of their mouth. But they don't like if you lie to them. They don't like the home together is the mother and the wife. And but before I get onto that, I don't want to jump. Let's point out all the things that we do. And we'll let the man slide. I know that doesn't work in Scripture. The Lord doesn't do that. But over and over he emphasizes some words. One word that he mentions over and over again is sound mind, sound doctrine, sound teaching. And it's where we get the word hygiene from. Healthy teaching. If you follow what the Lord says, it will be for your benefit, for your health. And if you follow the wrong teaching, there's a lot of other teachings out there that are literally sick. They are sick teachings. They will lead you to destruction. There is a way that seems right to a man. That's the teaching he'll proclaim. And the end thereof are the ways of death. There is right and wrong. And you don't just leave it up to people to choose whatever you feel like is right or wrong at the moment. There is right and wrong, and there is a God of right and wrong who you stand before and give an account. And the world says, that's not true. The atheist says, that's not true. It's a lie. You're just an accident. The Lord says to us, and to people, and to children, you have to do this because it's right before the Lord. This is what the Lord sees of what's right and wrong. And to lie, he says, is wrong. To mistreat someone else, he says, is wrong. To use your abilities for your own selfish ends is wrong. The Lord says, what do you think society would benefit this? Right. Tell people, without all, without all. Love your neighbor as yourself. Or tell them, get whatever you can, however you can. And as long as you're not caught, that's the only thing that would be wrong. It's sad, I was reading recently. You remember there was a young lady who was pretending to be a man that shot up a Christian school in Nashville a couple years ago. And that person, she wrote a manifesto and it's been covered up for all this time.
Don't anybody know?
Doesn't quite fit political correctness. But it was filled with hatred towards anything Christian being brought up. And she was convinced she was a man in a woman's body. And that the Christians, the evangelicals, they hated the trans people. And the propaganda that's going on in that community is, you have to strike first. Otherwise, they want to do genocide on us. And people will take false teaching, it's not true, that Christians want to kill everybody who doesn't agree with them. But through beliefs, teaching. It affects your feelings. And then it affects your behavior. Just male and female. There's all kinds of genders. Whatever you think you are in yourself. If you think you're a woman, you wouldn't be surprised if the medical community would start giving wolf hormones to people to affirm their wolfness. You know, that's kind of a joke, but it wouldn't surprise me. Because it's just the logical result of false teaching, of misleading. God made us male and female. Every cell in your body says you're either a male or a female. And really, it's an infection of the Creator. That way, he made it. I like the way you're a man. Or if I'm a woman, I'd rather be a man. Feminist movement is misnamed. It should be the masculinist movement. Because women want to be like that. You're not happy because you're a woman. God made you as a woman to create a child within. How amazing is that? And to be the mother of that child, he's put the baby in your arms, and to influence that child from birth. Mold them. You're molding another human being. Now, the Father has something to do with it. The Father has to be there. But we are all wonderfully made. God has made these excellent people. He didn't want to make you to be something you're not. And what He has made you is a great blessing. And has a great purpose. And has a purpose on the next generation. And that's what Paul emphasizes to these believers. The word he uses on all of them is to be sober-minded. To think straight. To think balanced. Don't get carried away by men's sophisticated words. You know, when people want you to follow them, they'll use terms and make up things so you don't understand, so that you think that they understand. So you follow them. But they don't know what they're talking about. The only standard to measure them is by God's Word. And to have sound faith, sound teaching, believe that sound teaching, and have sound thinking. And when you have sound thinking, it leads to sound feeling and sound behavior. And he goes on to talk about them. The women, or the men, sober, serious, self-controlled, healthy in the faith, in love, in patience. Men, your responsibility, be an example to your children. They'll look up to you. So set your home in order according to God's Word. You will be blessed. Not a tyrant. Not saying, the boss, you listen to me no matter what. And if you do wrong, to say you did wrong. To be an example. Husbands, love your wives. Frankly, I think a lot of the feminist movement would not have come about if men, the husbands, loved their wives as they should. As they should have. And that's a great responsibility. But men have their responsibility before the Lord. The women do as well. The aged, I don't like that, makes you feel old. The older woman. Behavior has become holiness. That means let your behavior, your actions, be such as it makes holiness attractive. You know, a saint is somebody who makes holiness attractive. Not trying to be what you're not, but trying to be like Christ. His example, that others can see Christ in us. And they're attracted to that. The Cretans are even attracted, because they know their philosophy is totally worthless. They know it's false. But they see it all around them. But they see there's a light in the darkness. That person has something different than I'm used to. I wonder if there's any truth to it. Not false accusers. The word there in the Greek is diaboloi. It's words mostly translated devils in Scripture. False accusers, slanderers. That means using your tongue for something that the devil wants you to say. Lord, you will not go to the cross. It's beneath you. Get behind me, Satan. That didn't come from the Father. That came from the enemy. Be sure you use your tongues in the right way. Not given to much wine, not addicted to alcohol or any kind of stimulant. To love, to teach the younger women to be sober. Given to much teachers of good things. Now that's an interesting word in the original. The word for teach, didache, and the word for what's beautiful or good is kalos. And this word puts kalos at the front of didache, and puts kalos at the end of the word. And it's kind of like beautiful teachers of beautiful things. That's what you should be. A beautiful teacher of beautiful things. There's nothing more beautiful than God's word, than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a couple words used in Greek for good. One is kalos, and that means good, and it's not ugly. It's beautiful, attractive. The other one is good in the sense of morally good. Well, we are to be morally good, but we're also to be morally or spiritually attractive people. Let our character be such. Let your children see that in your home. Love your husband. Love your children. Sacrifice yourself for them. That's the opposite of what the world says. Don't give. You do your own thing. Let the babysitters watch kids. No, a mother and a wife, they sacrifice themselves for their family. And that keeps the glue, that keeps the family together. Now, I didn't get on all the things I wanted to. The time is up. But there's a lot of things in here that the Lord says. You want to be a witness to your neighbors? You want to be a witness to a culture that is degraded and corrupt? Then live. Be an example of good works for Christ, so that they might see those good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't just go along merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat. But stand out as light in darkness, so that others will glorify the Father in heaven. Shall we pray? Lord, we think of all these characteristics of whatever age we are. We're called upon to be like you, Lord Jesus. They were true of you. That's why people were attracted to you. Help us, Lord, to make the gospel attractive. To not do anything that the word might be blasphemed, that you would be blasphemed, that people would speak against your Bible. Help us, we pray in this, in your name. Amen.